Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning Li'ilui Nishmasa and Lezecher Nishmasa. Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha Hashalom, may her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning. I mean, something I would tell you that gives me so much chizuk, besides to the people who learn with us either in person or now via Zoom, halavai, we should be zocha to learn together soon in person again, is the feedback that I get from the shiurim posted online. And you should all know it's really due to all of you who joined the shiur, that there is a shiur, to the Frun family, that there is a shiur. And the chizuk and the way that the learning really helps people who are able to benefit from the shiur postings, it just gives me a lot of chizuk. I'll just tell you one very quick story. Somebody, no names, I don't even know where she lives. She reached out to me to say that she lost a significant piece of jewelry last week, and she never thought she would be so calm in her life. And she understood, she had listened to the shiur a couple of weeks ago that we shared, and she understood that everything's from Hashem and it wasn't worse. And she was very grateful. So you should just know you're a great part of something very special, which is Mechazek, but Ezra's Hashem continues to be Mechazek, many other people beyond just our time slot, should be a continuous aliyah for Miriam Bas Chayim Yitzhak, Allah HaHasham. So let's continue with our learning. So I have some very nice learning, what I think is a very nice ha'ara. I was very excited when I was preparing and thought of this. So if you happen to have the Sefer, we're on page 216, I will read. We're in the Sefer, we're in the chapter of love. And we spoke last time about giving and receiving, and that giving symbolizes love, and receiving also symbolizes love. Okay, when working on conditional love, you must know that Hashem gives, not only because he is compassionate. The Sefer even writes, not only he doesn't want people to die, which I thought was an extreme way of saying that God is compassionate, but that's what the book says. We read every sentence in the book. We must know Hashem gives. Why does he give? Not only because he's compassionate, not only because he doesn't want people to die, but Hashem loves his creations. He really wants to give to them. You must focus, therefore, not on the gift, but on the motive, which is Hashem's love. So what do I get? I get a gift from Hashem, but the purpose, or not the purpose, the impetus for him giving me this gift is the fact that Hashem loves me. And this way you will awaken a reciprocal love for him. If you recognize that everything that I have is because Hashem loves me, and I will come to love the Ribbono Shel Olam back, and I will be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Halavai, we should be able to fulfill the haftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'adecha. When you come to recognize how much Hashem loves you and you reciprocate those feelings, then you'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah of love of God. Conditional love is reciprocal. Give and take. When a person realizes the Creator loves him, he naturally loves the Creator in return. It's like a parent-child relationship, like a husband-wife relationship, like two best friends. When you realize someone loves you, you love back. When you realize, when you come to realization that, you know, Hashem really loves me, then I love Hashem back, we will eventually see there's a hidden love within you for Hashem. And it's very interesting. In the book that I'm currently reading, which is called Like Dreamers, which is, I'm just towards the beginning, which is about the liberation in 1967, the Six-Day War of Greater Yerushalayim, of the West Bank, of the Sinai, of the Golan Heights. And it talks so much about the kibbutzness and how secular they were. But after the liberation of Jerusalem, something awoke in the secular kibbutzniks, and they realized they felt a connection to Yerushalayim. They felt a connection to the Kotel. They felt a connection that they didn't even know why for. And we will eventually see there's a hidden love. Every Jew has that hidden love within for Hashem. Before attempting to awaken that love, however, you must discover and internalize the fact that Hashem loves you. And sometimes you might not feel that. Sometimes you're going through a hard time in life, and you feel like, Hashem, where are you? And you know the expression, Hashem, don't love me so much? It's sort of a joke, but you wonder to yourself, why do I have so many nisyonos? Why is it so hard for me? Why am I going through these trials and tribulations? Hashem, if you really love me, why did this happen to me? I don't know if you saw that yesterday in Eretz Yisrael, a soldier was killed. A 21-year-old soldier was killed. They were on an operation in the West Bank to find terrorists. He was all of 21 years old, and he was an only child. Rahman al-Litzan. His father had to sign a special permission form giving him permission to serve in a combat unit, because in Israel, an only child or a child from a family who is already bereaved, i.e. a family, does not have to serve, may not serve in combat unless there's special permission. He was killed yesterday. Amit Ben Yigal, I believe his name was, Hashem Yinkom Damo, tears through large brick at his head, and he was killed. And sometimes you wonder, Hashem, if you love us so much, so why is this happening? But we have to discover and internalize that Hashem does love us, and when we realize that Hashem loves us, even if we can't understand it, we will come to love Him. The natural response to this love will then awaken within you, and he goes back to quoting the pasuk from Mishlei that we quoted last week, "Kemayim ha'panim l'panim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam." Just like water reflects the face, so too the heart of one person to another. So the natural response to Hashem's love will awaken within you, "Kemayim ha'panim l'panim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam kaviyachol." Just like water reflects the face, so too the heart of one to another, when I realize that Hashem really loves me, then I will reflect that love. So I'm going to quote the pasuk from Mishlei with the source that we looked at last time again. It's because the Sefer quotes it here. It's Sefer Mishlei, Perak Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Yates. So the Pasuk says, Kemayim ha'panim l'panim, like water reflects a face to face, kein lev ha'adam v'adam, so to the heart of man to man. And the Mitzudas David says, oh my gosh, it's so small. Kemo derech ha'panim, no, kemo derech ha'mayim, the way of water, marim es ha'panim, bedomim la'ha'panim ha'mistaklim ba. The way of water, like when you think of a glass, you know, there's even an expression, the lake is like glass. When you think of the way of water is that it reflects the face that gazes into it. Im sochakos, sochakos. If you are smiling when you gaze into water, the face looking back at you will be smiling. Vim atsuvos, atsuvos. And if you're crying when you look into the water, the face that you see in the water is going to be crying. Kein lev ha'adam la'adam. So to the heart of man to man. Im libo tov al chaveiro yitav. If your heart feels goodness towards your friend, his heart will feel good towards you. Gam libo v'im ra'a tira gam hi. And if you feel a negativity, an animosity to your friend, then your friend's heart will feel an animosity or a negativity towards you. The way to elicit love and to find love with human beings and then with the Ribbono Shel Olam is to work with the premise that if I give love, then I will reciprocate with love. The other person will reciprocate with love. So I want to quote a story from Rabbi Pesach Krom. Amazing, amazing story. Actually, before I quote from this story, I want to quote from Bereishis, where this Torah, it's a story slash Torah insight. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Mem Ches, chapter 48, Pasuk Ches, one second, wait with me. Yaakov Avinu has lived in Egypt for 17 years, and he's about to die. And he calls his son Yosef. Vayar Yisrael as bnei Yosef, vayomer mi ela. Yisrael, a name for Yaakov Avinu, sees the sons of Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim, and he says, who are these? Mi ela. Vayomer Yosef el Aviv, and Yosef says to his father, banayhem, they are my sons, asher nasanli Elokim bezeh, that God gave them to me. Vayomer, and he said, kechem na li elai v'avarchem. And Yaakov first says, who are these? Yosef says, they are my sons that God gave me. Yaakov says, bring them to me, close to me, I will bless them. And Israel's eyes are heavy from old age, he can't see so well. Just lowering the volume on my computer, I didn't realize what was happening. Vayegesh osam ela vayishak lahem vayichabek lahem. So Yosef brings the boys close to his father. He hugs them, he kisses them, and he hugs them. Okay. So the sequence was: Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. Yosef brings his sons. Yaakov says, "Who are these?" And Yosef says, "These are my sons." When Yaakov says, "Bring them close to me, or I bless them," Yosef brings them close, and Yaakov Avinu hugs and kisses them. Listen to this tremendous insight. Okay. Talks about Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. I don't know if anybody saw the Mishpacha 2 weeks ago. There was a beautiful article, and I believe it was Rabbi Yaakov Greenwald, whose brothers, that's always Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. The Greenwald brothers were very, very, very famous as activists and supporters of Jewish causes, very famous. So this is about Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. He was revered as an outstanding Jew who cared for every member of Klal Yisrael. He was multifaceted. He was a diplomat. He helped negotiate the release of Natan Sharansky. He founded Camp Sternberg, Camp Magen Avraham. He was a mechanech in Yeshivas Torah's MS. He was a creative thinker. He had a warm heart. Okay. He told the following story. He went by Ronnie. Even senior Rosh Yeshivas, Rabbi Pesach Krohn writes, called him Ronnie. He founded a religious school for girls that were down and out. The school was called the Mansi Academy. He once said these girls did not want to be religious, nor did they want to go to school, but he worked with them and succeeded. His office in the back of the building was next door to a car service. Among the drivers were three Hasidish boys of the car service who had left their yeshiva. One day, Ronnie asked the three if they wished to learn with him. Not seeing a threat, they agreed. They learned together for 20 minutes, a few times a week. One day they were learning Parshas Vayechi. Ronnie read the verse describing the meeting of Yaakov Avinu with his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Then Yisrael saw Yosef's children, and the pasuk says, he said, Mi Eila, who are these? Wait, said Mendy, one of the three boys, as he was smoking a cigarette. He was a yeshiva dropout, who was a car service driver. And Mendy said, I have a great var here in how to understand this conversation. Ronnie said to Mendy, go ahead, tell me. What Mendy said was astonishing and painfully revealing. I'm quoting Rabbi Pesach Kron, Illuminations of the Maggid. He began, Yaakov looked at these two boys. This is this boy Mendy giving this pshat. And he said, who are these? He did not recognize these boys. They looked different. They had been raised out of town in Mitzrayim. They did not look like his other grandchildren who were raised in his home in Eretz Yisrael. But Yosef says, these are my sons who God has given me. And what does the next verse say? Israel's eyes are heavy from old age. He cannot see. He is old. Said Mendy, Yaakov was old, meaning he's from a different generation. He could not see means he could not understand these boys. Kavdu mizoken, he cannot see because he's old. Lo yuchal liros, he can't see their ways. He can't understand them. He can't connect them. And that's why he says, mi eila. We're not talking about the literal pshat here, is that he could not see. And he says, who are these? He's saying, I'm from a different generation. I'm from back in the Altaheim, literally in the golden Medina of Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Who are these kids? They grew up amongst the Goyim and Mitzrayim. I don't recognize them. How are they dressed? What are they wearing? They look like the Egyptians. Mi eila lefanai. And Yosef says, banai him. I don't know. What do you mean who they are? They're mine. And the pasuk comments and says, "Eini so kavdu mizoken." His eyes are heavy because he's from the old generation. Lo yachu l'ros. He can't see this generation. But what does Yaakov do? If you remember the end of the pasuk, does he rebuke them? Does he give them musr? Do you remember what the end of the pasuk says? Vayishak lahem, vayichabek lahem. What does he do? He pulls them close. He kisses them, and he hugs them. He didn't yell. He understood they were different, but he accepted them. Ronnie was very impressed. That was incredible, he told this Mendy. This week I have to speak at a Nefesh conference of 350 mental health professionals. I am going to tell over your vart. That weekend, Ronnie repeated Mendy's insight. Afterwards, a gentleman from Brazil, Rabbi Pasternak, rushed over to Ronnie and he exclaimed, it was worth the whole trip from Brazil. Just to hear that vart about Yaakov and his grandsons, I will tell it over in Brazil. Before you go back to Brazil, Ronnie said, call Mendy and tell him, here is your number. Here is his number. The next week, Mendy from the car service came running over to Ronnie in his office and he said, you know, this rabbi from Brazil called me and he told me, you said my vart at the conference and he loved it. Ronnie, I think maybe I should go back to yeshiva, the boy said. Ronnie did what Yaakov did. He told her a Pesach Kron, you know what I did to Mendy? I hugged him and I kissed him. In his address to the parents, Ronnie said, What would I do? I heard a good var. I repeated in Mendy's name. The rabbi loved it. He called Mendy, gave the boy chizuk. I showed him love. Because Yaakov Avinu showed these boys who he didn't understand love. That's what these kids need. Time, patience, caring, and love. So when we talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam's love for us, wait, because we're going to have to wait a little while to bring Shir full circle, but I think I'm going to share with you a pretty amazing insight. So first, what we see here is that love comes and it changes from time to time. The way that Yaakov Avinu related to his children and his grandchildren who were Bnei Eretz Canaan, they grew up in pasture land, they grew up with sheep, they live a quiet life, nothing so dramatic, not so many outside influences. And they don't look very much like Ephraim and Menasha. When he sends Yehuda down, the first thing he sends Yehuda down is to build a yeshiva. And when he sees these Egyptian boys at the end of his life, he says, I'm from a different time. I am Mizokan, I'm Kavdu Mizokan, I'm heavy from old age. Who are they? Lo yachol liros, he can't see of that generation, but nevertheless, he hugs them and he kisses them. And if anybody remembers, we quoted this var maybe a year and a half ago. How do I know? Because I told it over Shavuos last year, and we quoted it before then. But we're going to quote it again and add a new insight. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, okay? I'm going to just repeat what I said last week. The chat is on. So if anybody has a question or a comment, you could post it there. And if I see it, Bezos Hashem, I can address it. Okay, so I'm going to Maseches Menachos Chaf Ches, Menachos 28. Tani Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a brisa, Kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe, all the kelim, all the vessels in the Mishkan that Moshe made, so the menorah, the golden candelabra, Mizbech ha-zahav for ketores, for incense, golden altar, Mizbech ha-nechoshes, the Aron Kodesh, the Shulchan, the table, they were kosher for Moshe's use. Moshe was allowed to use them, obviously. And they were kosher ledoros. After his petira, everybody else was able to use them also. The subsequent generations, they were able to use these kelim as well. Chatzotros, ksheiros lo, psulos ledoros. The chatzotros, which we read about in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yod, in Naso, Baloscha. The Chatzosras, which we learn about in Parshas Baloscha, Perek Yud, says the Gemara, Ksheiros lo upsulos ledoros. We're kosher for Moshe, but pasul for other generations. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. So the Chatzosras, what were they? I should have said, they were the trumpets. Okay? They were the trumpets. And they were kosher for Moshe, but they were pasul for all other generations. Now, that's what the Gemara says. Kripta kame. Medrash Tanchuma, Yod, Parshas Baloscha, teaches. When it comes to the Chatzotros, Hashem tells Moshe, you shall make for yourself these Chatzotros. They were the trumpets. Moshe would use them to signal it was time to gather the people. He would use them to call the people if there was war. They were away. They were like trumpets, okay? They didn't have, I don't know, WhatsApp that you could call everybody. They certainly didn't have a Zoom meeting, and they didn't have broadcast system, so they used the trumpets. And when they blasted them, the people understood Moshe is calling them. So Medrash Tanchuma Baloscha, Siman Yud says, Asei Lecho, when God said to Moshe, make for yourself, it means, Mishacha, Asei Lecho, Lecha, Ata Osa, Ve'en Hashem was saying to Moshe, they should be from yourself because you are going to use them and no one else can use them. The chatzotos are for you and nobody else. Teidalacha. Know that this is true, says the Medrash. Shaharei Yehoshua, Talmido Shemoshe, lo nishtamish behen, ala b'shofaros. Even Yehoshua, the Talmud Muvhak of Moshe Rabbeinu, was not allowed to use Moshe's chatzotos. Only Moshe used these silver chatzotos, not even Yehoshua, Misharis Moshe, was able to use them, but Yehoshua used shofaros, a shofar, but not the chatzotos, not the trumpets. And then the Medrash brings a proof from Sefer Yehoshua that when they went out to war, Yehoshua blasted the shofaros, but not the chatzotos. Furthermore, the Medrash says, Ela Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmo, Achu Bachayim, Nignazu, even Moshe in his lifetime, the Chatzrotzots that he made in the beginning of the 40-year sojourn in the desert were hidden away in his own lifetime. What's the proof? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Hareza Hashem Moshe Omer. What's the proof? Kishu Bali Pater Mina Olam, Hakilu Eli Eskol Rosh Yishuvtechem. When he's about to depart from the people, from the nation, he says, gather to me all the heads of the tribes. V'heichan hayu hachatzotros. Where were the trumpets? Shalohaya omer lem tiku bahen v'izkatsu Eli. Ela sha'adhu b'chayiv nignazu. Let me explain what the Medrash is saying. Medrash Tanchuma b'haloscha Siman Yud tells you that when Moshe was commanded to make the silver trumpets, the chatzotros, he was told, these are for you, but they are pasul for all other generations. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe, k'sherim lo u'k'sherim ledolos. All the kelim, the implements, the vessels Moses made, were kosher for him, and kosher for Yeshua and all generations. Chatzotros, but the chatzotros, k'sherim kshero lo, were kosher for Moshe, upsulos the doros, they were pasul, they were nullified, they could not be used by further generations, subsequent generations. Along comes Medrash Tanchuma, Simon Yoram, Parshas Baloscha, and explains to us that even Yehoshua, the faithful servant of Moshe, was not allowed to use the chatzotzot. How do you know? Because in Sefer Yehoshua, it says Yehoshua used shofaros, but not chatzotzos. Okay? Furthermore, the Medrash says, Rabbi Yitzchak says, even in Moshe's own lifetime, the chatzotzos were hidden away. In the beginning of his career, he called the people with the chatzotzos. But at the end of his career, Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches, right before he dies, he makes an announcement. Oh, the Medrash just fell. Sorry. He makes an announcement. Gather the people to me. But we don't see that he blew the chatzotzos. Nobody blew the chatzotzos, which proves that even in his lifetime, they were put in Geniza. Nignezu, Geniza. They were put away. Okay? Like the Medrash says, "Asei lechashtei chatzotzros." When the pasuk says, "Make for yourself two chatzotzros," lecha ata oseh, make them for yourself. The ein ata mishtamish ben kol yimei chayecha. Even you, Moshe, cannot use them all the days of your life. So how do we understand this? Not only could not subsequent generations not use Moshe's chatzotzros, but even Moshe himself could not use his own chatzotzros at the end of his life. So the first part I'll answer as follows. Why does the Gemara say in Menachos? I shouldn't say that. How do we understand the Gemara in Maseches Menachos that the Chatzotos were Ksheiros Lo, however Psulos Lodoros, they were kosher for Moshe, but they were Pasul, nullified for generations. So I heard of Shai Shechter, who quoted Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin, Zatzal, Zchusu Yagin, and he was only the father of Amud Yomi, but not Amud Yomi, Daf Yomi, who was only 43 when he was Nifter, and he himself did not have children. But look at the legacy that he bequeathed to Knesset Yisrael. How many children, spiritual children, of Meir Shapiro of Lublin has through the Daf Yomi and all the Torah that is learned from his revolutionary idea. So Meir Shapiro of Lublin explains the Gemara as follows. Why were the Chatzotos the only kli that Moshe could use for himself, but not for subsequent generations? The answer is because the Chatzotos, unlike the other kelim, were for communication. All the other kelim had a different function. The Shulchan was for the Lacham Mapanim, and the Levana Zaka that was on the showbread table. And the menorah was for lighting every night in the Mishkan. And the Mizbech HaNechoshes was for animal sacrifice. And the Aron Kodesh was the resting place for the Shekhinah and what housed the Luchos and the Sefer Torah. But what were the Chatzotos for? To communicate with the people. Meir Shapiro of Lublin says, you cannot communicate with one generation. Some of you may remember that I know we learned this. I remember learning it, but it was at least a year and a half ago because I already told it over last Shavuos and we told it over in Shari before then. I'm talking to myself. Everyone needs this reminder. You cannot communicate with one generation the way you communicate with the next generation. Me Eila Lafanai. This I never said before. The story with Ronnie Greenwald and this boy Mendy. I'm adding that on. And Mendy brings us, as quoted by Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, proof of this from the Chumash in a very unique way of interpreting this psukim. Me Eila, who are these boys? And Yosef says, Banayim, they're my sons that God gave me. And the Pasuk says, narrates about Yaakov. Israel's eyes were kavdu mizok, and he's old. He's from a different generation. Lo yuchal leros. He can't see. He can't perceive. He can't understand this generation. We're talking two different languages. I come from Canaan. I'm the God of Hadar. I'm the grandson of Avraham Avinu. Who are these Egyptian kids? Nevertheless, vayageish osam eila vayishak lahem vayichabek lahem. He brings them close. He kisses them, and he hugs them. So Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin says you can't communicate with one generation the same way you communicate with another generation, and therefore the Chatzotos of Moshe Rabbeinu were hidden away, and Yehoshua cannot use them. Because once they were in Eretz Yisrael, it was a different time. It wasn't a generation of the desert. They weren't relying on the miracles and the man and the water from the rock. And it was a totally different time. And every time needs a different mode of communication, a different language. We added on a beautiful insight to that, which is this helps us explain the Medrash as to why the Chatzotos of Moshe were hidden away in his own lifetime. Because in the beginning of his career, who is he communicating with? Generation number one. the Yotzim Mitzrayim, those who had left Egypt. They were slave mentality. They were a different maharach. They needed a firm hand. They needed someone who hit the rock. Shemos, Perek Yud Zayin. And Moshe wasn't punished for that. They needed to be spoken to a different way. Hein hi katsur vayozavu mai. Moshe, you did the right thing in Bishach. When the people say we have no water and he hits the rock, that's good. That's the first generation. They need to be dealt with differently. They're a slave mentality. And Moshe's end of his life, by the end of his life, that generation has died out. There are no more left of age 20 to 60 to Yotzei Mitzrayim. He's dealing with the next generation. So the chatzotos he made for the first dor cannot be used for the ba'e aretz. You need to talk to them in a different way. You can't communicate with the first generation and the second generation in the same fashion. And therefore, even Bichayav in his days, Nignazu, those chatzotos were hidden away, because you don't talk to one door like you speak to the second door. Who are these boys? I don't know. I can't believe these are my grandsons, but they are. Let me hug them. Let me kiss them. Kamaim ha'panim l'panim kein leiv ha'adam la'adam. Yaakov Avinu did not reject those boys. And Moshe's chatzotos teach us that we need to interact with each generation in a different mode of love. Someone said to me, I think it was on the Shavuos program last year. It's very sad. This is the first Shavuos in 5 years that we will now be zocha to be spending in the presence of Rav Herschel Schechter and his rabbitin. Mashba of Torah from the YU Rashi Yeshivas and Gedoli B'Torah. It's very hard. Okay, but a lot of things about COVID are very hard for a lot of people. And okay, so we'll make Shavuos at home. Be'ezus Hashem will be a meaningful Yom Tov. It's not that upon making Yom Tov, it's just not being in that hashpa is a big loss. Let's go. So Shema came over to me and she said, the way she speaks to her older kids, her 20-year-olds, is not the way she interacts with her younger kids, the 5-year-olds. Even in the same family, you could have two different generations. So what aura do I want to add tonight, besides for the story that Ronnie Greenwald brings us down, the insight into the end of the Chumash, that I realized when I was preparing that I think is pretty amazing. What we're really talking about here is not love of one person to another. The Sefer is talking about Hashem's love for us, correct? But since the Sefer quotes, Kemayim ha'panim l'panim, kein leiv ha'adam l'adam, I went on a little tangent because we learn about our relationship based on our relationship with fellow human beings. And it teaches us about our relationship with our Father in heaven. So I thought something that I think is very amazing. Ready? Then what we're saying, perhaps, is that Hashem's love for us adapts, so to speak, to the generation that we are in. I am certainly not, like my grandparents lived their lives in Europe, in Krasnik. One came from Krasnik. I forget where my grandmother came from. I'm for sure not like my great-grandparents. And my husband is a ben acher ben, 7 generations or 8 generations better. I think my kids are 8 generations. Mamish ben acher ben from the Rapshitzer Rebbe. So you can rest assured that my husband and my boys probably do not resemble the Rapshitzer Rebbe very much. And maybe if the Rapshitzer Rebbe, he was known for his great humor, by the way. He was known for his humor. The Rav Shitzer Rebbe saw them, he might say, me Ela, these are my Ben Acher Ben, these New York kids, this is who they are, you wear jeans, you're a Ben Acher Ben from the Rav Shitzer Rebbe, who is this? I don't know what the Rav Shitzer Rebbe is saying, I hope it's Zechus Yagin Aleinu. But I could imagine that might be, I mean, he was the founder of Rav Shitzer, he was a great Hasidic Rebbe. Mi Ela. This generation is so different. And we might wonder, and I'm taking this back to Hashem, does Hashem love us? I understand he loved the Chafetz Chaim. I understand he loved the Rav Shitzer Rebbe. I understand he loved the Rambam and the Ramban and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Aaron and Moshe and Yoshua. Of course he loved them. Yosef at Tzadik. But it's Tafshin Pei. It's a long time since then. And my kids are either 8 or 9 doros, Ben Acher Ben, from the Rav Shitzer Rebbe. It's a long time ago. So I know Hashem loved them, but what about me? But Hashem is Avinu. He's our father. And Yaakov Avinu teaches us, and the Chatzotros teach us. Hashem is the one who told Moshe the Chatzotros are not kosher for future generations, they're only kosher for you. Hashem is our master teacher. He is the Malami Torah La'ama Yisrael. Hashem's love, so to speak, adapts to each and every generation. So as long as I or you are doing the best you can in every generation, with the tools that you are given, with the life you lead, with the circumstances into which you were born and bred and raised, this isn't an excuse to slack off. If we're doing the best we can to grow as an Eved Hashem, yes, in our generation, because I don't live in another generation. I don't live in another door, so what should I do? Shmuo b'dor ki yiftach b'doro. Every generation is different. You will come to the Kohen or the Shofei. What does the Pasuk say in Devarim? U'basal ha-Shofei asher yeh b'yamim ha-heim. The Pasuk says in Devarim, you will come to the leader who is in that day. So what does Rashi say? What do you mean in that day? Obviously, I'm coming to the leader in that day. I'm not going back. What was the name of that car? Back to the Future? I'm not going back to the future. I can't go to a leader in a different generation. What do you mean the Torah says you're going to the leader who will be in that generation? Obviously, I'm going to the leader in that generation. So Rashi says, Ein lecha el shofet shebiyamecha. You have the leader who is in your door. But maybe that's a bracha. Because if I had access to the Rav Shitzer Rebbe today, he would probably say, what are you? I can't believe this. This is my zarachai v'kayama baruch Hashem. Ein lecha el kohen el shofet shebiyamecha. Every generation must adapt. We don't throw off the yoke of Torah. But we have to learn how to live in our time as Torah Jews. So I thought of something so cool. Is everything clear so far? Ready? V'yisha amda lavoseinu v'lanu. Shalo echad bilvar amadaleinu l'chaloseinu. Ela shebechol dor v'dor. Amdi malenu lechaloseinu, v'kodosh baruch hu, v'kodosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam. What has stood for v'hisha amda la'avoseinu? What stood for our forefathers in their generation? What stood for the Rav Shitzer Rebbe in his generation, and the Rambam in his generation, and the Rashi in his generation, and Unklus in his generation, and Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and me. First we say this has stood for our forefathers, this has stood for the previous generation, this stood for Yaakov Avinu, the Baal Eretz Kena'am, the Tzadik Olam, the Shiftei Ka, the father of the Shiftei Ka, the Bechir Sheba Avos. God's promise of loving us, of embracing us, of understanding us, stood for our forefathers. But not only does it stand for our forefathers, Vilanu. It stands for us. Yes, you might be 8 generations away from the Rav Shitzer Rebbe, and I bet the men in my family look pretty different and live a pretty different life. But we're still committed to Torah, and we're committed to Amud Yomi, and we're committed to Divrei Torah, and we're committed to doing the best we can in this door, because I don't live in the time of the Rav Shitzer Rebbe. V'hisha amda, what has held us up, omeid, what gives us the koach to go on, to continue, La'avoseinu, for our fathers in their door, Vilanu, and me in my door. And then the Baal God comments and he tells you, Shalo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Elisha bechol dor vador. Amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. In each and every generation, we have a spiritual threat. And it's a different spiritual threat in every generation. And today we have spiritual threats, perhaps, like our forefathers could not imagine. With everything so easy access, everything online, everything available, every schmutz in the world at your fingertips. Rachmana Litzlan, we have nisyonos today that La'avoseinu never had. Perhaps they had nisyonos we don't have. Because on the other hand, every schmutz is at your fingertips, but so is every Torah lecture. It's amazing. In every generation, things change. Oh my gosh, I just thought of something. Rav Sham Sharnfall Hirsch points out in his commentary to Baal Oscha that Chatzotzos is from the root word, the Shosh Chatzer. Chatzer is a court or a courtyard, because the Chatzotzos were used to call the people to the court of Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. I don't mean like Beis Din. You know, a Chassidish Rebbe has a court. We're talking a lot about Chassidish Rebbe's tonight. The Rebbe holds court. It doesn't mean they were called to Beis Din. It means Moshe, so to speak, made a circle around himself, and the people stood in court around him. But maybe we could say the Chatzer, the courtyard, the environment of every generation changes. And that's why the Chatzotzros must change in every generation. The communication changes because the courtyard in which we live is not like the courtyard that my grandparents lived. And it's not like the courtyard that my husband's great-great-great-great-grandfather lived. And it's not like the courtyard where the Rambam lived, where Rashi lived, where the great Tanaim and Omaraim lived. The courtyard, the Chatzer, the environment of every generation changes. So how could the Chatzotzrot, which are used to communicate within that Chatzer, not change? Try and talk to kids today the way you talked to them 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 100 years ago. They're going to get nowhere. You're like talking Chinese. It goes both ways, by the way. Sometimes we don't understand them. You know, often my son will show me memes. Whenever my son sends me a meme, I don't get it. It's already a running joke that I never get it. He thinks, Ma, you don't get it? I say, no, I never get it. I'm not so old. I never get them. So a chatzer is a courtyard. Our courtyard, our life, our environment, our surroundings cannot compare to the past. So what does Hashem say? Does he say, Mi Eile? Or does he say, bring them close to me so I could hug them and kiss them? What does Avinu, our father, say? V'hi sha'amda la'avoseinu, God's promise to stand by us and hold us up, has stood for our forefathers in their own door, v'lanu, in our door. Parentheses. Shabachol dar vadar. Things change in every generation. Omdim aleinu lechaloseinu. In every generation, the spiritual threat of the chatzer in which we find ourselves changes. And they rise up against us to destroy us. End parentheses. V'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. But Hashem always loves us. And he knows the generation he put me in. So maybe if I had the Ashba of the Rapshat Rebbe in my direct life, it would be easier for me. I wouldn't struggle. I wouldn't have nisyonos. I would have clear direction. I wouldn't have such a battle with my Yitzhar if I could be in the R of such a Gadol. But I don't live in that time, Hashem. You put me in this time, not in that time. And even if my ancestors cannot understand, Eini so kovdu mizoken, Israel's eyes are heavy. Lo yuchal liros. I can't understand the shtusim of this generation. Nevertheless, he responds with love, because these are his children. Vayagesh osam elav, vayishak lahem. He brings them close, and he gives them a kiss. Vayichabek lahem, and he gives them a hug. That's what Hashem does for us. That's what it means that Hashem loves us. It's not a blanket love. It's the same love he had for Rabbi Akiva, for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, for the Chassam Sofer, for Rav Levi Yitzchak HaBerdichev. It's a unique love because the nisyonos I face are not the nisyonos they faced. The chatzer that I live in is not the chatzer that they lived in. And Hashem Yerachim and Yazar, the chatzer my children live in, is not the chatzer that I live in. But nevertheless, v'hi sha'amda la'avoseinu v'lanu. Despite the fact that b'chol dor v'dor, those struggles stand up to destroy us. In every generation, b'chol dor v'dor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. That's what it means to recognize the love of the Ribono Shel Olam. And then how could you not reciprocate? How could you not give love back? Because Hashem gives so much to us. Even if I'm pretty different from the Rapshitzer Rebbe from which my husband descended, I'm sure I'm pretty different than his Rebbitzer. Hashem says, I understand. Come close to me. I will give you a hug. I will give you a kiss. Even if these Egyptian grandsons look really different than my Canaanite grandchildren. I'm going to end also with a story from Rabbi Pesach Kron on the same topic. I see a lot of Siyata D'Shmai when I prepare my shiurim because Hashem just mamish directs me to find what I need to find. I think it's incredible. I hope you appreciate it. I hope I gave it over well. I hope I explained it well. I hope Hashem gave me the ability, Sifasei Tiftach, Ufi Yagiti Lasecha. Rabbi Pesach Kron writes, Rabbi Avram Mandelbaum is one of the Menahalim of Yeshivas Orchos Chaim in Lakewood. When was this written? 2016. Okay, in 2016, Rabbi Avram Mandelbaum, I don't know, today, is one of the Menahalim of Yeshivas Orchos Chaim in Lakewood, New Jersey. There are about 300 children in the third and fourth grade classes. Excuse me. Whenever a boy is sent to his office for some infraction, Rabbi Mandelbaum discusses the situation with him and reprimands him if necessary. But before he sends him back to class with a note to the Rebbe or teacher, Rabbi Mandelbaum says, remember Shmuley, generic name, I love you. So every time a boy is sent to the principal, he is reprimanded appropriately, but before he leaves the principal's office with a note to re-enter class, Rabbi Mandelbaum says, remember to the child, let's call him Shmuley, I love you. Toward the end of the school year, Rabbi Mandelbaum was visited by a mischievous child who had been sent to the Manal's office more than once. Rabbi Mandelbaum gave the boy a gentle rebuke. He wrote the note and he said, okay, Shmuley, you can now go back to class. The boy stepped out into the hallway, but did not return to class. He remained standing outside of Rabbi Mandelbaum's office. Rabbi Mandelbaum asked the boy, Shmuley, why aren't you going back to class? Rabbi said the boy sheepishly, you forgot to tell me that you love me. Rabbi Mandelbaum told me, Rabbi Pesach Kron writes, he was stunned by that response. Who would have thought a few words of endearment were so important to a mischievous child? Rabbi Pesach Kron comments, to me this is incredibly moving. Perhaps someone thinks those simple words, remember I love you, are not that significant. But Rabbi Pesach Kron writes, 30 years from now, that boy is not going to remember anything that he learned in class, in third grade, and fourth grade, and fifth grade. But he will remember that the Menahel always loved him, even when he got into trouble. Bechol dar vadar, Hashem says, you might not look much like your ancestors, but you're doing the best you can in the chatzer in which you live. So how can Moshe's chatzotzrots be used to communicate with me in Tavshin Pei? They couldn't even be used to communicate with the second generation of Ba'ei Aretz. And Hashem always comes and he saves us. Because he says, Ein lecha el ha-shofet shebi'amecha. I know the time I put you in. I know the chatzer in which you live. Come close to me. Even if you don't look like your forefathers, Ein Yisrael kovdum bizoken. I want to give you a hug. I want to give you a kiss. That's what it means, that the Ribbono Shel Olam always loves us. And when we can understand that, how could we not love Hashem in return? Thank you all very, very much. I wish you a week of Besuras Tovos.